Along with Craig, I'm glad, too, that the Lord overruled the weathermen here and gave us such a wonderful, beautiful day. It's a great day to talk about joy, the second fruit of the Spirit, and this is what we're going to be speaking on this morning in our series on five of the ninefold fruit. We tried our new method this morning of having you pick up the outlines at the back, and we'll begin to learn this method, but maybe someone missed getting an outline, so let's check real quickly. If you did not get the little outline, Where's the Joy on the Fruit of the Spirit series, if you put your hand up, we'll try to see that we get that outline to you. We have just several people, and we'll begin to learn to pick up the outlines at the back. While they're passing out these outlines, let me mention, we'll be mostly looking at verses in the Old Testament. One of the reasons I list so many verses and turn to so few is that many of these verses, rather than using that time to turn to them, we have them listed on the outline so that you can look them up, study, and meditate on them more. But there's some in the Old Testament, especially Psalms and Proverbs. So if you'll kind of keep your place in Psalms and Proverbs, especially Psalm 51, we'll be referring to those verses, actually reading them from Scripture, whereas those mentioned in the New Testament are fairly familiar, and we do have the references written for you. What do people want most in life? I believe the evidence points to people wanting happiness more than anything. There are people who would give all that they have if they could just be happy. And some people actually say, if I can't be happy, I don't want to live. And some people are so unhappy that they actually take their very own life. Now, our basic premise in this sermon this morning, and I believe the Bible teaches, is there is no true happiness outside of Jesus Christ. God can give true happiness, inner joy, only to those who know His Son. And we don't even have to turn to the Bible to find that out. Just listen at the testimony of some people who did not know the Lord and did not find happiness. Where is happiness? Not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." Doesn't sound like a happy person to me. Not in worldly pleasure. Lord Byron lived in a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man upon earth." Not in position and fame, Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, old age a regret." Not in military glory, Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is happiness found? The answer is simple, in Christ alone. So our point A, we have true joy only when we receive Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." When the Lord Jesus comes in, we have a spring of everlasting joy. And yet one of our modern day actors has said, "I would give up all of my fame and all of my fortune just for anonymity." And he didn't even throw in happiness as part of the package. If he could just walk down the street and not be recognized, gang, and people asking for his autograph, he could find it in the Lord Jesus. There's another story, the other side of that. When I was attending university, there was a young lady who was a beauty queen on that campus. But all of a sudden, she was struck with a type of muscular dystrophy that distorted that beautiful body and caused that face to be drawn. In her desperation, she came to know the Lord Jesus. And there was a glow and inner joy about her that replaced that outward beauty. And she had found that in the person of the Lord Jesus. If you want joy, true inner joy, you want the Lord Jesus. Now, an earlier question that we had asked is, what is the difference between happiness, as the world speaks of it, and the happiness that we're talking about for a believer. Well, as most of you know, happiness depends on outward circumstances. Especially in California, someone will come up to you and say, "Hey, bro, what's happening?" And what they're really asking about is, what's happening around you, your circumstances, are they good, are they bad, are they happy, or are they a downer? What's happening? And that's what worldly happiness depends on. What's happening? But what's happening comes and goes. What we're talking about here is an inner spiritual joy, so that there can be tears on the outside, and at the same time, the other emotion of joy on the inside. And actually, joy is so important in the Lord's eyes for us to experience that under B, He actually commands us to rejoice. Can you imagine that? Through the Apostle Paul, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And this backs up what we were earlier saying. Where was Paul when God spoke this through him and he wrote it to the Philippians? Sitting in jail. Jail and joy are two different things. His circumstances, he was in jail. And if you had asked Paul, probably there's no one more than the apostle of freedom who'd like to be outside of that jail and elsewhere on his missionary journeys. So his circumstances were absolutely miserable in jail. But he says, rejoice what? Rejoice in the Lord. I've got joy in the Lord Jesus, Paul could say, though my circumstances, such as they are in jail. Another specific command comes to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Two words. Rejoice evermore. Now, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? In the English version. John 11:35, Jesus wept. In the original language, that's 16 letters. In the original language, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is 14 letters. The shortest verse in the Bible in the original language is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. God is commanding us to rejoice. And we almost say, you know, I want to be happy, and I have to try to find happiness when God's not looking, because He's going to try to stop it. And we have this concept that God is a killjoy. Get that smile off of your face. There's a happy Christian. What's happening here? Stop this immediately. The Lord's not a killjoy. He is a giver of joy. But the giving of that joy is found only in His Son. God is commanding us, rejoice in my Son. Rejoice evermore. And don't feel guilty about obeying that command. And you know, the fact that He commands us shows that we have a propensity to be just the opposite, not to rejoice in the Lord. God commands us to rejoice. Now, if I were sitting in the audience where you are, one of the questions I would be asking is this. How can we talk about the joy of the Lord Jesus, whereas one of His descriptive titles is Man of Sorrows? The song, Man of Sorrows, what a name. Isaiah 53 is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Tends to be totally contradictory with what we're talking about. But hold it, hold it, hold it. These are what we call psychologically mixed emotions. And they're not necessarily contradictory in the sense that they can't be in the same person, because they can be. In John 15:11, what He's going to give us is His joy. These things have I spoken unto you that my, He's talking about His joy, might be in you, and that your joy might be full. The man of sorrows dispensing joy to His people. It's those mixed emotions. He was a man of sorrows. He wept the death of Lazarus in the face of the unbelief of the people. He wept over Jerusalem at the unbelief. He wept when He cried out with great tears in Gethsemane. And I think He cried more times than we have that threefold record of the Lord's crying. The Lord Jesus wasn't a wimp. The Bible says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to weep. And the Lord Jesus knew to do which when. And at the same time, there were the outward expression of the sorrow, the grief that was genuine. At the same time, there was an inner, lasting, underlying joy that he says, I'm giving to you. Did you know there could be people in our midst this morning who have no ancestors older than they are, who may die without ever having anyone will anything to them? Do you realize that? You may not be included in any earthly human's will. That's possible. Now, the Lord will take care of you. But my point is this. You're included in Christ's will. He's died and he's risen again. He says, I will to you, my joy, find Jesus Christ in my blood. It's yours. I will that they have the joy and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Don't feel guilty to obey and rejoice. Don't feel guilty to enjoy his joy. Now, this mixed emotion of joy and sorrow is also true of Christians as well as it was of Jesus Christ. You remember, we've had it again and again from Dave's preaching in 1 Thessalonians 4, in our prayers that we have prayed here and some of us have shared, where Paul talks about the Thessalonians, their sorrow. We sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. You see, the world cannot know a sorrow that also has hope and joy mixed in. All they know is sorrow. Boom, that's it. We can know a sorrow that also has hope and joy mixed in. I think I saw this illustrated in a lady named Margie Starn. She attended a Bible study that we had in Dallas, Texas in the early 60s. Margie had been a Christian for about 12 years. And her husband, who was a salesman, was named Wiley. Wiley Starnes had no truck with Christianity. He wanted no part of it. But through those years, Margie had been a very faithful Christian. She did not preach at him. She did not nag at him. She simply practiced her Christianity before him. And he appreciated that, but he wanted nothing of Christianity. They discovered that Wiley Starnes had a brain tumor. The doctors operated, but they told her very frankly, Margie, we removed the tumor and we've given temporary relief, but we didn't get it all. The likelihood is it will grow and grow fast. Wiley Starnes was taken home. Margie nursed him. She worked during the day, but she also felt the time had come when she gently and graciously shared her concern for his eternal destiny. She had lived such a consistent, practical testimony that his ears and his heart were wide open in his desperate situation, and he trusted the Lord Jesus. In those subsequent weeks, Margie, after work, would stay up hours reading to him the Bible, Christian literature. He was an older man, but he was a babe in Christ, and God had put that spiritual appetite there, and that wife faithfully fed him the Word, and he just couldn't seem to get enough. And my wife and I saw him. We visited there. And we saw a glow and a joy that was contrary to all of his physical condition. Sorrow of the disease, but joy in the Lord Jesus. Margie experienced it even more. Because at Wiley Starnes' funeral, there were tears in her eyes. She was a devoted wife. She loved her husband. And this is what the Bible speaks of. When a believer loses another believer, especially a family member or a friend, there is sorrow. My father went home to be with the Lord just a year and a half ago. I still miss him. And all of a sudden, it hits me like a jolt. I can't call Dad and ask him, Dad, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of that? My sons do that with me now, but I don't have a dad to do that anymore. That human dad. Of course I trust in the Heavenly Father. But he gave me a human father for a while, and he's gone now. And I can't call him as I once did. So there is that human sorrow, and we better not deny it. Jesus himself wept, as we pointed out. But there's joy on the inside. And Margie had a joy that was just jumping up and down on the inside. Her greatest prayer request had been answered. Wiley had come to know the Lord, and now Wiley was with the Lord. Yes, my friends, it is not contradictory when we have those mixed emotions of tears in our eyes, but the joy of the Lord Jesus on the inside. Christ experienced it, and we as Christians can experience it. I do have to add this. There is a day coming for there will be no more sorrow. He will wipe away all tears, the Bible says. The former things will be remembered no more. Don't take your hankies to heaven. You won't need them. Won't be any tears there. It'll all be past. No sorrow, no suffering, no death, no sin. But at present, we have that mixed emotion. The sorrow on the outside, but the joy on the inside. Capital C, we experience the greatest joy when we live closest to the Lord Jesus. Now, in that promise, we've kept repeating, these things have I spoken unto you. My joy might be in you, your joy might be full. That's in the context where the Lord Jesus is talking about abiding in Him. Now, every Christian is provided equally with the availability of the joy of the Lord. But we have to avail ourselves of His provision, you see. You could own a grocery store, stand right in the middle of it, and starve to death if you didn't take the food off the shelf and appropriate it into your body. And so Christ says, here's my joy. I willed it to you. And the key here is, the more we abide in Christ, live in intimate fellowship with Him, the more we participate in that joy. And the closer the fellowship becomes, the greater that joy becomes. See, salvation is an absolute. Person's either unsaved, zero, or else they're saved 100%. Doesn't mean they're perfect. There are no degrees of initial salvation. There are no degrees of being born again. You can have a half-baked potato, but no half-born-again people. It's either zero or 100% there. Now, what we're talking about is after a person's saved, then the joy we experience depends on the closeness, the intimacy of that relationship with Jesus Christ. When we're not finding our joy in the Lord, guess where we'll turn? Same place the unsaved person does. To the world every time. We're joy-seeking creatures. God's made us that way. But He won't give you joy unless He gives it from the Lord Jesus. And we'll turn to the world every time when we're not finding it the Lord Jesus. And I used to say that next to an unsaved person, the most miserable individual is a believer who's out of fellowship trying to find his or her joy in the world. Some students corrected me and said, we think you're wrong. We think the Christian is more miserable. Has nothing to do if you're truly saved. That's eternally secure. We're talking about joy. You and I cannot go back to the old places we went before we're saved and join the party and have a good time. You can't go back to the old pre-salvation practices and it's going to be fun and lovely. The reason the unsaved thinks they're enjoying it is because they're so numbed out in sin, they don't know what real joy is. And they're trying to tell each other, aren't we having fun? Well, I guess so. We better be. Let's laugh. And it's all a phony. It's all fake. The happiness of the world always has a kickback. It always has a hangover, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus gives joy without a hangover, my friend. No regret. Pure and flowing ever. Why is it that Christians may be more miserable, though, when they try to find their joy in the world? It's because we've tasted of the pure fountain of living waters. A special kind of joy. If all a person had ever had to drink was old sewer water, it probably tastes pretty good. But we've taken of the pure fountain of living waters and joy in the Lord, the sewer water, yuck! Bad stuff, misery city. There. Joy is found only in the Lord Jesus. And the more we live in intimate fellowship with Him, the more it turns on the valve of God's joy to flow through us. Capital D. We lose our joy in the Lord whenever we sin. Now, sin may be fun, and the Bible teaches it is. Sometimes we tell young people sin is not fun. That's not true. They know it is. And the Bible teaches the pleasures of sin for a season. What we really are telling them, sin is not fun in the sense of the consequences, but we need to distinguish. The Bible teaches sin is fun to commit, but it's the consequences is where the pain is. Moses refused the pleasures of sin for a season, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. Moses knew it would be fun for a season, but he knew there would be a kickback. Moses knew that it was like a credit card. It's fun when you spend with it. It's painful when you get the bill coming back. And the chickens come home to roost. The boomerang effect does take place. Sin is fun to commit. It's the consequences that are so very painful. And when the believer sins, sin comes in, the joy goes out. This verse, and let's look at Psalm 51:12, is Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Do you know that verse teaches eternal security to the believer? David didn't say, restore to me my what? My salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. His salvation was secure, but that was part of the problem. He had the salvation, but he wasn't enjoying it. Sin comes in. The joy goes out. It was now a miserable experience. Without salvation, there's no joy. And without intimate fellowship with Christ, Christians don't have joy. And I know unsaved people don't have joy because it's found only in the Lord. And I have never, never, ever met a person that said, I'm just so happy I'm lost, aren't you? Or something. No, they know they're miserable. Unsaved. You never meet a Christian who's out of fellowship, who's really fully enjoying the Lord. God has a wonderful solution, and it's He. We renew our joy in the Lord when we confess our sin. Just notice verse 10 of Psalm 51. We have it in our notes, but look in your Bible. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Back in verse 7, he said, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, this is not a psalm of salvation or regeneration. He knows he's saved. It's a psalm of restoration. And it's restoration to fellowship with the Lord and the joy of the Lord. The question I always had in terms of verse 12 is, you have the request, restore to me the joy of that salvation, but did he ever get it back? See, that's the big question. Did God give the joy back? What a blessing to discover Psalm 32, which turned to, and most commentators believe Psalm 32 is a parallel to Psalm 51. Same incident. David has committed murder and adultery. He has sinned severely, but he has confessed his sin. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledged my sin to thee and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Now bounce down to Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. Rejoice, be glad, and joy. God gave it back. The sin comes in, joy goes out. Sin goes out in confession, joy comes back in. Are you enjoying the Lord this morning? Some of us have the notion that we endure the Lord. We're not to endure the Lord. We are to enjoy the Lord. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God wants you to enjoy Him. Say, well, the Bible says a lot of times we're supposed to endure and be steadfast. Exactly. But we endure trials and temptation. We don't endure the Lord. And let me press the question a bit further. Not only are we enjoying and not enduring the Lord, or enjoying the Christian life, or just enduring the Christian life. We endure the trials of the Christian life. We endure the pilgrim way in the Christian life. But are you enjoying being a Christian? It's great to be a Christian, isn't it? It's great to know that you're saved. And God says, I want you to rejoice in my Son, Jesus Christ. And don't feel guilty about obeying it. So F, we are blessed when we have joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nothing but nothing will wear you out as quickly as trying to serve the Lord when you don't have the joy of the Lord. It is drudgery. It will get you in a routine and a rut quicker than anything I know. But when you have the joy of the Lord, there seems to be boundless energy. God enables you to do things that you never dreamed you were able to do. And not only do psychologists teach the therapeutic effects of happiness, The Bible teaches the therapeutic effect of real Christian joy. Let's look at two verses. Let's look at Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. When the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up bones. A joyful heart is a good medicine. Did you take your all-day vitamin today? Did you take those pills the doctor has prescribed to you? Did you take a big dose of the joy of the Lord this morning? It makes a whole difference. It may not change the circumstances, but it will change your attitude and your action. One of my professor friends relates back that when he was a young man, Christian, but he had broken up with his girlfriend, and he had this job working for lawn maintenance on the college campus there. And he said, my job was pulling out weeds. And he said, I was just moping and crying in those weeds. Me and my gal broke up, you know, and pull another bitter weed and pulling weeds. His supervisor, who was a Christian, came along and said, I know you're hurt. I know it's going to take time to heal, but I want you to stop that moping. And I want you to start rejoicing. And he said, I started rejoicing in the Lord. My heart was still broken, but I started rejoicing in the Lord and thinking of what I had in Christ. And he said, you know, I even started enjoying pulling those old weeds out there. And I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord can even give you joy in pulling weeds when that's your job. The joy of the Lord, that's your strength. And don't let it stop with just a selfish type of I want the joy. Share your joy. Capital G. We share joy when we rejoice with others. Another command. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Those luckies, they got a new house and we're still patching our 50-year-old one. No, that's not it. We want to rejoice with you, George and Mary, that God provided you such a wonderful house. We're still driving our 10-year-old jalopy. They got a new van. Praise the Lord for the way He's provided. When we rejoice with other people, you know what happens? We enter into the joy that they have. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's sad for me to have to say there are among Christians what we might call joy killers. If anyone's smiling, they'll make you feel guilty for doing so. They're joy killers. They try with rigidity and legalism to make sure that everybody is bound, tied up, no room for a laugh, no room for joy. That's not our Lord Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, but He said, I've remembered you in my will. I willed you my joy. If you're here without the Lord Jesus, you can know this true joy, but you got to get rid of that backpack of sin that you're carrying. The Lord Jesus says, give me that backpack. I'm as far from sensationalism as anyone can be, but when I became a believer, one thing I definitely experienced was a lifting of a burden. I wasn't a doper or a super sinner, alcoholic or something like that, just as lost though. But there was a lifting of the burden of sin and a lightness and a joy when the Lord Jesus came in. You still got your backpack of sin. You'll never get rid of it. You let the Lord Jesus take it from you. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He wants to be your Lamb, your sin bearer, and He wants to be your joy giver today. God commands us, rejoice in the Lord. Best medicine you can take this morning. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for our Savior who so wonderfully knows our needs, our greatest need for salvation, who is willing to die and pay the price that we might not only be kept out of hell, but taken to heaven, that we might not only one day be removed from a place of sin and sorrow, but even in this present life that we might have that taste of heaven, His joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for including us in your will. Thank you for giving us an inheritance that you paid for full and free. There'll be no charges in heaven. And Lord Jesus, cause us to rejoice with you, to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, to know your joy, and to share that with others. We ask it for your name and sake. Amen.